Today, we're going to continue from where we stopped last week, and we're looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. We started looking at that last week, and today we're going to look at the second and probably the concluding part of that. And if you guys have got your Bibles, you can just turn there with me, and we will read together, or you can just hear me out reading, or I'll read and you can just listen. All right, so I'll read. It says Matthew chapter 13, 10 to 17. It's quite a long read. And it goes, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whosoever has will be given more, and they that have will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. So carrying on, though seeing they do not see, though hearing they do not understand. And it says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For the people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. It says, otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But it says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but do not see it, and to hear what you hear, but do not hear it. So Jesus had just told them a parable, one of the really popular parables in the Bible, the parable of the sower. And after Jesus had spoken the parable, his disciples came to him secretly, well, not secretly, privately, and said, you know, what the parable you just spoke about, what does it really mean? So Jesus took time to explain the parable of the sower to them, and we looked at that a few weeks ago. So after he mentioned that, he now began to say a number of things because his disciples asked him a question. And it probably went like this, you know, why are you telling these folks things in parables? Why don't you just come out plain like you have come out to us when we came to you privately? And Jesus began to make some interesting comments here, which reading it might not really make too much sense because it's like, really? Why? You know, why is this? But he makes nevertheless some very interesting points. And one of the points he makes is he begins to make some points about the kingdom. And we looked at the kingdom, the characteristics of the kingdom last week, that there are a number of things that God has given us as believers. There's so many things that God has done for us as believers. And these things are not apparent to people who are not born again. And these are some of the things that Jesus begins to refer to as the secrets of the kingdom. Last week, we looked at a number of things. We looked at the fact that unless one is born again, one cannot see the kingdom. We looked at John chapter 3, so on and so forth, about the things that we get as being members of the kingdom of God. So today, I'm just going to continue, you know, from there, from where we stopped last week. And last week, we looked at a number of things. We looked at what a parable is, and we described what a parable is. We said it's a simple story to illustrate a moral truth or a spiritual lesson. And I believe that last week I made a point that I remember when I was much younger, my grandmother then would tell us these stories, you know, and I found them quite intriguing. And they were more like parables. Some of them were, you know, she would talk about a lion, a turtle, and all these things. So she would speak in those figurative ways that made it really exciting for us as kids then to give us an understanding or to make a point or to, you know, teach us certain lessons about, you know, about life. And she spoke like that quite a bit. So Jesus spoke the same way, using parables, just using stories to illustrate very deep spiritual truths. So we looked at that last week. We looked at what the kingdom of heaven is last week as well. We looked at some of the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven and some of the things we mentioned that we get as being members of the kingdom of heaven. We looked at the fact that we're no longer under the control of the devil. God provides for us. God gives us peace. God has given us eternal life. So many things that God has done for us. We looked at that last week. So today we want to look at part two. So last week it was, they were asking him, why do you speak to them in parable? So this week we're looking at Jesus's response to what they were saying. Now, for today, we are going to do like a line by line thing. So we'll look at a verse of scripture, then I'll explain it. Look at the next verse of scripture, I'll explain it so that we can get the context. Now, after they asked him that question, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus now begins to respond. Now, the first thing we look at is his first reply here, which is Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. So I'll read that again, just to give a context. It says, he replied. This is after they had asked him why he spoke to people in parables, the people outside. He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you and not to them. So the first thing we see here is Jesus indicates that in God's kingdom, there are a lot of things that are hidden. There are a lot of things that are not apparent. And he begins to make a point that unless one is in the kingdom of heaven, unless one is born again, one will not have access to those, he calls them secrets. One will not have access to those secrets, but I would say, to those hidden truths about the kingdom. We looked at a few of them last week. So we see that there's certain things that, from a kingdom perspective, doesn't make sense to people who are not born again. That's because they're not in the kingdom. For example, when we quote verses like John chapter 14, verse 27, where Jesus says he was telling his disciples, I've left you peace, and the world cannot give you the kind of peace that I have given you. And when you come across someone who's going through a lot of problems and maybe they're not a Christian or they're not born again, and you say, God has given us supernatural peace, God can strengthen you, they might look at you weird and like, you know, what are you talking about? God? I mean, God, who's God? He's invincible. You know, what does God have to do with my current situation? So those things that we understand regarding the kingdom of heaven, people who are not born again don't. So they're hidden things that are not apparent to anyone who is not born again. And even to us that are born again, it's a journey of discovering those things as we live our faith, you know, as we go on the journey of our faith. So the first thing we see is that a lot of the things concerning our faith, concerning the kingdom of heaven, they're not things that are obvious. They're things that, you know, we need to dig deep into. Now, so looking at that Matthew chapter 13, verse 11 still, I'll read it again, then I'll make two points. It says that Jesus replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of heaven have been given to you, that's to us, and not to them. So let's look at two words there, two phrases there. And the first phrase we want to look at is given to you, that's to us. Then after that, we'll look at the next phrase there, but not to them. What does that actually mean? So if we look at the second point here, given to you and I, the Bible begins to tell us that God has outlined and given us things that we are not even aware of. How do we know that? If we go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So what that means is God isn't going to bless us in the future. God is not in the process of blessing us if we behave properly and if we do all the things we're meant to do. No, it says he has given us these things. So it's like, you know, you have like a, you have some, if I say you have like a bank account that your uncle left you. Now, because, you know, you're such a good nephew and all that. And, you know, someone just came up to you and said, look, your uncle has left you a big bank account with X amount of money in it. Now, you have a number of options there. You can either say, well, it's not true. That's one option. Number two, one could say, well, I think I have to, I mean, what do I have to do in order to get the money and the stuff that my uncle has given me already? How do I go about it? You know, can you tell me the name of the bank and I'll go there and try and access it? So that's the second response. Another response could be, you know, that person stays in the room and the person is crying and say, I've missed my uncle so much. Uncle, are you sure you really left these things for me? And that's another option. So the first option is not believing. The second option is trying to access what has been given to you. And the third one is not making a move, but regretting or trying to cry to your uncle to, you know, come and, you know, explain to you or explain what he has given to you. So what am I saying? In the context of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, God has given us everything we need. Do you understand? He has given us everything we need. So that's when Jesus says has been given to you, this is what he's implying from that statement. Now, the third point is the other phrase we looked at, but not to them. So Jesus says, he makes a clear demarcation here that there's certain things that we've been given as, you know, people in the kingdom of God as being born again. However, those things have not been given to people who are not born again. So that's why he said, not given to them. And what's the reason for that? If I look at First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And I'll read. It says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So we begin to see something here. And what we see here is that the Bible explains that things that are in the kingdom can only be discerned spiritually. That means if one is not born again, there are a lot of things that one will read in a Bible or that one might be told by someone who is a believer, and they will just not make sense. They will not make sense because it takes the Holy Spirit in the believer to bring those things to light. Now, the whole, and should I say the whole morale of tonight's Bible study is this. There is so much that God has done for us. There is so much that God does through us that we take for granted. For example, do you know that when you read the Bible and you understand the Bible, I'm not talking about academically here. I'm not saying you know all the facts of the Bible. You know when Jesus was born. You know when Mary gave birth to him. You know, I'm not talking about knowledge from that perspective. I'm talking about reading a portion of scripture that says, my peace I leave with you. Reading a portion of scripture that says, the Lord is my strength and my salvation. Reading a scripture that says, though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. I will not forsake you. You read that scripture and something happens to you. You find comfort in those scriptures. Not that Jesus has come to you face to face, but you're just reading those things and they begin to do something to you. They calm you down. Now, that is not ordinary. As simple as it might sound, it is not ordinary at all. So what am I saying here? What I'm just trying to point out to us tonight is, there's so many things that God does through us that are silent. And we might not be aware of those things. And we just say, well, I read the Bible and I understand it. No, It is a gift from God to you and I that we can do that. And I'm just using the reading and the understanding of the Bible as kind of like the starting point. So we see here from the scripture read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 12, that the understanding of the kingdom of God is given to us, has been given to us. There's nothing we need to do to earn it, but we have something that we need to do, which is to pay attention to the Bible and to give ourselves to it. Time to discover the things that God has done, that God has given us. Second and third point is God has given us a lot, and there's some things that, well, he has given us a lot, and those things are not available to people who are not in the kingdom. Now, I just want to make another point. So if we move now to the next verse, Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. So we're going line by line today. And I'll read that. It says, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But it says, whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. Now, what does that mean? And you're thinking, you know, what's this? If I have more, then I'll get more. If someone doesn't have, then what they have will be taken away from them. That doesn't really make sense. Shouldn't it be, if I don't have, then I should, you know, get more? Or I should be given some so at least I can have some. And if I have an abundance, you know, I should give away. Apparently, that's not the way it works when it comes to the kingdom of God. Again, in the context of the believer and the unbeliever, the person who is not born again. In that context. And this portion of scripture further divides the line between people who are in the kingdom and people who are not. Remember that we read from the book of John chapter 3 that Jesus says, unless you're born again, you cannot even enter the kingdom. You cannot see the kingdom. So that's the demarcation here. Now, so this verse we've read that when someone has been given more, then they will have abundance and have more, but the people who don't have, they will even lose what the little they have. Now, so the fourth point I want to make is this. From the perspective of the believer, the more of God you understand as a believer, the more of God you will have. Now, what does that mean? Now, as we give ourselves to God in the study of the word, in really focusing on God in prayer. And when I say prayer, I'm not talking about mechanical prayer. I'm talking about a heart that wants to really know God. As we know more of God, it opens up more chambers of God. So what happens is it's like a building block. So you have like the foundation. So you have bricks. So as you begin to lay down the bricks, maybe one brick is, you know this about God's peace. The next brick is, you know this about how God views certain things. And as you begin to put those bricks down, what that does is it now creates a platform for you to put more bricks upon. And the more bricks you have, the higher you go in God. Well, when I say high, I'm talking about, you know, allegorically here, which means the more of God you will know. So Jesus is making this point here. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says something in the scripture. It says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. So what this means is this: God has prepared everything that we need for us, every single thing. Before you were born, he had made it available for you and I. Now, the journey of our Christian walk is to discover these things. Now, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, again, is John chapter 17, verse 3. And Jesus told his disciples, this is eternal life. What is eternal life? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So our Christian walk is an exciting walk. It is not just, well, there you go again. And, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that, I'm not, you know, quite. No, it's not that. It's a discovery of Christ. The more and more, Paul in Philippians, Paul that God used to write over a third of the New Testament. In Philippians, he was saying this is his wish, that he might know Christ. Everything that he had gotten up to that time, that he understood. This was a man that God took to heaven, a man that saw angels, a man who saw all sorts of miracles. And yet, he spoke as if he had not even begun to explore or to understand God at all. That was his aim. So our aim should be, one, God, we really want to know you. What are the things that you've done in my life as a believer? Those are the things that we should explore, so that God, we can have a deeper understanding of God. And that's what makes our Christian walk exciting, I tell you. So that's the fourth point, that God has done these things for us. And the more of God we allow ourselves to know and embrace, the more of God that we'll have in the context of knowledge, true knowledge, heart-to-heart knowledge, so that when God says something in the Bible, you believe it. Why? Because you know him. So that's that. But the other one that talks about the people who don't have, whatever it is they have will be snatched from them and taken away from them. How does that happen? Now, this talks about unbelievers. And the point I'm going to make is this. Everything that someone who is not a Christian has in the form of the knowledge of God, say, for example, let's say someone, they're not Christian in their family, they're not born again, but that person went to, say, a Christian primary school. And while they were there, the teachers spoke about, you know, they spoke about stories about maybe when Jesus was born. They spoke about maybe some parables when they were young. And those things remained in their memory, even though they're not Christians. It might even be that they have, you know, people have Christian friends at college that they come in contact with once in a while and they have the conversation. But these guys who are not born again, they don't really, you know, in that context, probably do not have a lot of knowledge about Christ. Just, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. So what this passage is saying is that they have a little bit, but that little bit that they have is gradually been removed from them. Now, how does that happen? Who is responsible for this? The devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we see here that for people who are not born again, like when you and I were not born again, we had little knowledge here and there about Christ. The devil is on the constant prowl to remove the knowledge that everyone that is not born again has. So all the things about Christ that maybe that person learned when they were in primary school through a Christian teacher, the devil is constantly using all sorts of things to remove that knowledge from them. How? Well, different means. He will use philosophy. He will use rationalism. How can you be thinking, you know, how can you think someone who died 2,000 years ago can save you? And you're like, oh, not you. They're like, oh, that's true. That doesn't really make sense. That is the devil trying to snatch the little that they have from them. So we begin to see here that Jesus makes this analogy that for people who are not born again, the devil is after the little knowledge they have about God, trying his utmost best to discredit that knowledge. Why? So that they will lose the entirety of the knowledge. Do you understand? So that's the fifth thing. Now, we now see two more points to make here. And the next point we see is in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15b. So we read through quite a bit from 14 to 15, where Jesus begins to say that as it was spoken about them, they will have eyes and not see. They'll hear but not understand. And he goes through all those things. Now, so the sixth point I want to make is, what's the big fuss about understanding? I've been talking about understanding. in the kingdom. I've been talking about the secrets of the kingdom. I've been talking about the hidden knowledge of the kingdom that's available to people who are born again. What's the big deal? Why am I going on and on and on about this? You might be asking yourself. Well, I'm going on and on about this because therein lies the treasure of every human being, born again and not born again. Therein lies the plan of God for an individual. Therein lies the peace. Therein lies the provision. Therein lies the grace and the life of an individual on this earth. That's the sixth point I want to make. So, but let me read Matthew chapter 13, verse 15b, so that we get the context again. So it says there, after Jesus is saying, seeing they will not see, hearing they will not understand. He now goes on, he says in 13:15b, he says, otherwise that they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. So Jesus here was not talking about believers. He made a point in this Matthew chapter 13:15b. And the point he made was, if only these folks could understand the scriptures, if only they could understand what the kingdom is about, if only they could see what God has prepared for them and they understand it, they hear it, they understand it, then something would happen. He says, then I will heal them. Now, we're not talking about just physical healing here. We're talking about healing from a, you know, from different angles. There's the healing of eternal life. Do you understand? Where people will be healed from the healed and delivered from the tyranny of the devil on earth here, only to, you know, end up in hell. No, he says he will bring healing to every part of their body. And I believe the very first healing that a human being needs is the healing of salvation. So Jesus was saying here that, oh, I can see him here saying, otherwise that they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, so I can heal them. So Jesus wants to touch every single individual, born again and not born again. But in this instance, we're talking about people who are not born again. He's interested in their lives. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you understand? God sent Jesus because he wants to heal the world. God sent Jesus because he wants people to experience the kingdom. Do you understand what I mean? And we see that therein, the understanding of the kingdom to the person who is not born again is it's their whole life. And that's why the devil fights so much to discredit the faith from people who do not believe. So the fact that you understood the gospel and you gave your life to Christ is an absolute miracle. It's something that you and I should not take for granted at all. It's something that we should hold, you know, with both arms and legs and not let it go, neither take it for granted at all. Do you understand what I mean? So we see something there, that the whole aim of understanding the kingdom is so that Jesus can bring people into the kingdom, bring healing to their lives, give them eternal life. Do you understand? Very important. So that's kind of like the antidote of the ills of man. The antidote of the life of an individual, God bringing the solution in the context of the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand? Now, the last bit we want to look at is as it relates to the believer. Now, Jesus said something quite interesting in Matthew chapter 13, verse 16. So looking at the next verse here. Something that I really want us to take to heart, and I'll read it. So there he says, but blessed are your eyes, talking about us, because they see, your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So Jesus is making a point here. And the point he makes to us is, how blessed are you guys that the things that you are now seeing in the kingdom, the things that you're understanding in the kingdom, the eternal life that you have knowledge of now, in the Old Testament, up to the prophets, these were things that they longed for, but they couldn't see it. Why? Because Jesus hadn't come. But he said, we're so blessed because the things that even the great prophets like Prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, all those people that we look at and we read that Isaiah called fire from heaven and, you know, God answered. God says, as a New Testament believer, you have more opportunities than they do as it relates to God. How do I know that? If you look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, it says, truly, Jesus speaking now, it says, truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not been any greater than John the Baptist. Watch this. Yet, whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So we see Jesus making a point here. He says, you guys, just scan back up to John the Baptist, who was kind of like the last prophet from the Old Testament into the New Testament. And John shook the whole of the nation. This man was an absolute, I mean, Jesus made a point about you and I. He said, even up till John the Baptist, even though those prophets that we've read about, Isaiah, all these folks were really, really, really used by God. It says the least in the kingdom of heaven right now is greater than them. Now, what does that mean? That means we are greater than them, not because we are able to do more than they did in terms of influencing people. No, we're greater than them because God has given us the kingdom of heaven. Not only that, the owner of the kingdom, God himself, lives in us as the Holy Spirit to give us an understanding of the kingdom. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm going to stop there tonight. So we've looked at the kingdom of heaven. So this is the second part. And we've said that there are things that are hidden. And unless one is in the kingdom, one is a believer, one will not understand what God has given us in the context of the kingdom. However, God wants to bring people into the kingdom of heaven. So we've looked at all that tonight, but the main thing I just want to leave us with tonight is this. As believers, we might look around and you might say to yourself, well, there's really not much happening in my life. I'm not maybe doing this. I'm not doing this. I don't have this. I don't have that. I want to bring us tonight the message from God that, look, irrespective of what you have or do not have from a physical perspective, those things do not matter at all. Second Timothy, God was saying in there, it said to Timothy, do not, as a soldier, do not become entangled in the affairs of this life. Paul was saying that all the things on this earth, they're like a shadow. They're things that pass away. The things that really matter are the spiritual things of the kingdom. Now, am I saying we should neglect our duties as parents, as workers, and all? No, I'm not saying that. But what this is saying is that let us begin to look at the gift that God has given us. And this is the gift of eternal life. Let us begin to look at the opportunities that we have in Christ. Let us begin to explore what God has put inside you and I. Do you understand? And as we do that, life will become exciting. I'm telling you. I mean, for me personally, I mean, my life, I believe, is even more exciting now. Why? It's just because I'm now seeing more and more that, wow, there's so much to discover in God. And as I just dig deeper and deeper and deeper, I'm seeing things about God that I never saw before. And it's really making me excited. Do you understand? And it's bringing absolute joy to my heart because of that. I'm going to leave us there tonight. That, you know, God will help us to understand the things of the kingdom. But like I said, what I want to leave us with tonight is that we do not take it for granted at all. So let us pray.